Welcome to our live. This is Inside Texas Football powered by InsideTexas.com. I've got Evan and I've got Eric with me. Coach is going to be joining us a little bit later. All three of them have written some really good articles that have showed up on the board in the last few days that I really want to focus on, specifically to do with spring ball. And we would love for you to join us over there. We're running I think it's safe to say, an absolutely ridiculous promo right now. If you pay one American dollar, you get 4 months. That's a quarter of the year for one American dollar. Join us over at InsideTexas.com. We would love to have you over there. Eric, you wrote something about practice number 7. Practice number 7 is in the books. And I would like, for the sake of this conversation, to take on the role of average board reader. There's a line in here that really struck me, and it says the source didn't have any thoughts on Anthony Hill being better in coverage yet. Why are you saying Anthony Hill is a bad linebacker?
Yeah, you know, that was in a section talking about how the linebackers have actually been the best at turning over the offense so far through 7 practices. It was not long after writing about Ty Anthony Smith having a pick in teamwork. So, I was asking about Hill, just because that's one of the main focus points for him. Certainly that's the one that the scouts and NFL GMs are going to wonder about before they figure out whether or not they're going to take him in the first or second round. He's just kind of, they've got him on a pitch count. He's not out there 100% of the time. You know, they're working on depth. Brad Spence is playing quite a bit, and he actually looked pretty good in coverage. I was happy to hear. Brad Spence is a really muscled up guy, a bit blocky. And sometimes when you see those guys, they're not the most mobile or the most fluid. They don't have the best change of direction, but he looks pretty good in that regard. But I don't think we have anything to worry about Anthony Hill. I'm really excited about all the other linebackers. We're hearing about Leonga. Lafau gets mentioned after just about every practice, but they're going to be good in coverage. And I'm sure Anthony Hill, we know he's working on it, in his downtime. He'll work on it again in the summer before they get ready for August camp.
It's with this is, and I know that you're very keen on saying, you know, it's a zero-sum game. It's hard to read these things out. But what, because if you look at Spence, certainly he is a transfer coming in. Obviously a guy that is, as you pointed out, body by Minecraft, a bit of a square guy, known for filling the gaps. What are we seeing out of that room? That's been a room that we've kind of had a lot of positive feedback from recently. And this, the thing that we knew going into this was they were very athletic. They were very quick. We felt really strong, maybe about the pass rush and maybe even the run, but this is giving us a lot more flexibility. And I want to get into Evan's article on Trey Moore here in a minute, but this linebacker room is looking to be pretty versatile.
Yeah, extremely versatile. You've got a number of skill sets. All the guys are pretty well-rounded. They might have strengths in one direction or another, like Ty Anthony Smith. He's got a nose for the ball, but he's not the biggest guy of all time. So, you know, right now, every time we hear about him, it's that he moves like a defensive back. Leonga Lafau is exceptional in coverage as well. So you got two guys that are really, really good, way above average in coverage. You got Anthony Hill, of course, who can do it all. Trey Moore, we know that he can get after the quarterback. Spence can get after the quarterback as well. There's not a ton of bodies in there, which is okay because, you know, typically there's only two out there on the field at a time. But there's absolutely zero dead weight. The only guy that we're not hearing a ton about is Elijah Barnes, and that's because his head is swimming because he's a true freshman at a mentally demanding position. They can do anything they want with those linebackers. There's going to be times when you might only see one of them out there. There's going to be times when you see three of them out there. But especially in aggregate, there's no weakness in that group. Like I said, I think they're all NFL players. You know, outside of Bo Barnes, it's a little too early to say on him, but you know, five-star guy that's giant and runs and hits like he does, he's probably going to find his way to the NFL too. But they're going to take another step. A lot of useful experience last year. Even Anthony Hill gained useful experience last year. Certainly Leonga Lafau did. Ty Anthony Smith flashed every time he was on the TV screen. Brad Spence made plays against Texas. So I really like that room. It's probably the second or third best room on the entire team. And you know, we're not just hearing about them getting interceptions. They're punching the ball out from ball carriers as well.
So, Evan, you wrote one of the newer additions to that specific room, and that was Trey Moore. Specifically, you were talking about the flexibility. Again, that seems to be the theme of tonight, specifically with the linebacker room. What is Trey Moore moving to off-the-ball linebacker? What does that bring to that particular room?
Well, I think the first idea that comes with this is that you want your four best linebacker edges – mix of those players on the field at once. So if you can get Moore and Burke and Simmons on the field as much as possible, that's always going to be a win for any team that's or for Texas in particular against any team, no matter what their skill set is. I think Moore, him being such a veteran player and being willing to do this, you know, Sarkisian talked a lot about his mindset this offseason when he had his, you know, his first real press conference with the press recently. And it just seems like he believes that Moore can kind of do whatever he puts his mind to. He's been working before practice, after practice with Coach Nansen, getting that rapport up with him. And I do think it helps so much in the pass rush game. It makes Texas just deadly from anywhere you're going after. Alex January is probably going to be the best defensive tackle edge rusher, and then you have the best in the country probably in Colin Simmons. So I think what Moore gives you most, more than versatility, is experience. And I think that experience just shows that he can play anywhere on the field for Texas. He was great in the read option game, I thought, last year, like the Pavia and playing against Taylen Green at Arkansas, which obviously Spence was there for that game. I think that's going to be a big thing, is that he's going to be really good at identifying run fits, and it'll just allow for Hill to do even more on the field, which, you know, pitch count, who cares? Simmons was on pitch count in the first practice, and now he's, what Eric's been saying, the best player on defense again. So it's going to happen, but I'm really excited to see Moore and Leo Goflau, kind of interchangeably on that Will linebacker role.
Eric, I don't know if we can equate this move to what happened with Jide last year, but, you know, as Ian has pointed out, there's not a lot of folks in the NFL that have Trey Moore's build that are coming off the end. So the staff seems to be very conscious of that in the development process, making sure these kids have the best opportunity moving forward. What have you heard so far about his development? I know Sark has mentioned that, you know, the mental aspect of it is coming along pretty well.
Yeah, he would be – I mean, if he had more time doing it and more experience, we would have zero questions about it. I think it will – if he does have enough time to develop – the NFL does not like to spend time developing guys. Yeah. But if he does have a chance to develop, and this year will be a big part of that development, he's going to be a linebacker. He's got the body, the build, the brains, the movement skills. It's all there. I mean, his problem was he got to UTSA and the guy could light it up from the edge. And so you're not going to turn down a guy that can have 8 sacks as a freshman and 14 and a half sacks as a sophomore or whatever it was. Maybe that was redshirt freshman, sophomore year, whatever it was. He notched 22 sacks at least at UTSA. So they weren't going to tinker with him. And he could get away with his lack of length playing at that level. You know, the step up of competition, that was the main question we had all offseason. I was going up against Cameron Williams, Kelvin Banks in practice. Just got off to a bit of a slow start from a production standpoint. But, you know, once that Vanderbilt game came along, he was playing with his hair on fire and a lot more productive. I think he would be perfectly fine in the SEC rushing the passer, playing Colin Simmons' role. Colin Simmons isn't exactly the biggest guy either. Trey Moore would be perfectly fine, but I think they're not looking at Trey Moore from – this season standpoint, because they do have Simmons, they're looking at it. All right, how can he help us differently? What can we do differently schematically? And what's going to get this guy to the league, get him paid, give us more proof of concept? It is similar to Jade Barron as far as getting him to his NFL fit. I think it's similar to Jalen Gilbo, getting him to what would be his NFL fit most likely, or at least help his NFL tape out. But, you know, we hear that he can do it all. We've always heard that he could do it all. From, you know, he got on campus last January and everybody was impressed with his football IQ, the way that he moved. So I think it's, you know, I think it's going to be, I think they're going to rotate those guys based on who their opponent is. Maybe if they're getting picked apart in the passing game, you're going to want Leoga out there. But if they're struggling to get after the rush, you're going to bring in Trey, and you're going to move Trey. He's not going to just be blitzing from off the ball. Sure. They'll move him up to the line of scrimmage and do all kinds of things with him. It's just another element of versatility. And I think that they're going to game plan more week to week rather than run their stuff. I think they're going to game plan specifically based on each opponent, similar to what Johnny Nansen was doing at Arizona, 2 years ago.
Now, I know that was something that was a part of the coaching ethos last year, but it seems to me, just looking at this roster, that, you know, you look at a Trey Moore, you look at an Anthony Hill, you look at a Ty Smith, it is so much more versatility in those spaces. It seems to me that, and I'll throw this over to you, Evan, it seems to me that this is giving them the opportunity, more so than maybe even last year, to be more specific in the game plan week to week, opponent to opponent.
Well, and I also was doing my research with this Moore article. It didn't really end up getting into what I was looking into, but you're looking at returning linebacker rooms. And of course, like I think of Clemson and Georgia as the two places that linebacker is always going to be deep, and every player, one gets injured, the next guy might be even better. But like how many places right now can say they're 5-6 deep at linebacker? It could be one of the deepest in the nation right now. And I, I know like Pitt's one of those teams that surprise you with having two elite guys there, but the ability to have, you know, a next man up mentality where even if Hill were to go down, who, you know, he's probably going to lead the room in snaps, there's anyone that you need behind it. Brad Spence can come in and play more of his role. If you need passing down play, you have LaFau. So, yeah, if these five, six players, you know, depending on what Barnes can do, all have their own roles that they're really keying in on. And if Spence can work more as a pass rusher, even though, like Eric said, he's been good in coverage, while LaFau can be in pass coverage more, it's just going to allow for so much to happen. And I love the week-by-week manipulation, especially in an SEC schedule. That's what you have to do. And before I wrap up that thought, Cotton in the chat said the first time you shave your face, it'll be life-changing. Believe it or not, that was a shaving nick. So there is proof of concept, despite the baby face. Yeah, right there. So I just had to throw that in there. Had to get that out before I stopped. But
is this this the first time that you've shaved, Evan?
No, I'm not that young. How young do you guys think I am?
Well, I mean, looks. I mean, I just would assume that. I mean, you could maybe live your whole life and shave once.
You've been plucking for years.
Oh yeah, I get it down. I get it down here a little bit.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. And, you know, and a great place to maybe pluck your facial hair is your kitchen and bath.
This video is brought to you by Lux Kitchen and Bath. Lux has been offering high-end kitchen and bathroom remodels for three generations throughout the greater Austin area. With five-star review after five-star review on Google and Facebook, and an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau, you can put your faith in Lux Kitchen and Bath's award-winning designers and skilled craftspeople to bring to life that dream vision of your special home. But that's not all. Lux's all-star team provides full remodels, large additions, and even commercial build-outs as well. So call Lux Kitchen and Bath at 833-358-LUX today. Or visit luxkitchenbath.com to discover where quality meets luxury and begin the process of transforming your home. Get a free quote today by calling 833-358-LUX. That's L-U-X-E. Or by visiting luxkitchenbath.com. Link in the description.
One of the reasons we do these lives is to get the opportunity to answer some of your questions. So we want to go to those now. Please keep those coming in. That's really helpful. We're going to stay in the linebacker room here. And BST is asking, what was Brad Spence better at while at Arkansas? Playing in coverage or rushing the passer? Now, am I right in understanding here, Eric, that at Arkansas, they did have him off the ball a little bit, but was he a little bit more on the ball there?
Well, you have to understand when he came out of high school, he was an edge pretty much 100%. And right. You know, Texas had interest in him because obviously he's an explosive athlete. You could tell he's going to have an NFL body. But, you know, they didn't know necessarily what the projection was. And so, you know, he's transitioning from edge. And that's why I say, you know, getting this guy after a couple of years of Arkansas developing how to do the linebacker things is kind of a boon for Texas. You know, they didn't have 2 years wrapped up in a player that wasn't really quite ready to hit his stride, which I think he is now. So he was better rushing the passer. There's video of him working Kelvin Banks a time or two when they played this season. He's really good, and he could flat out get after the quarterback in high school. He was a blur off the edge, had a lot of top schools interested in him. I think LSU was actually pushing for him really hard. But, you know, that actually just adds to some of what I really like about him. You know, after when they like to go to base defense, Trey Moore's probably going to have this Sam role locked up this year. But next year in base defense, Brad Spence is a perfect fit for that, which is sort of a quasi edge player to the field. He can do that seamlessly. He's going to have a big year. I think he's going to be good in 2025. Great backup for Anthony Hill, but I think we're going to really appreciate them signing him in 2026 when Anthony Hill's gone.
I want to throw this next question to you here, Evan. This is something I feel like Eric is answering on a daily basis, but I'm just curious what your thoughts are here. And this is from Skaharthi 53. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Any unforeseen rooms where we might end up having portal needs after spring ball? There are certain rooms that we're aware of now, but is there anything that you're thinking that could be an area where we might need a surprise?
Well, I know everyone's going to want me to say kicker because they love talking about this room, but sure, I think it's so publicized, the tight end room. It has to happen with Jordan Washington getting hurt. There's just not enough depth there. I wrote one recently on the offensive line, and I do think tackle could be a spot where you're seeing Sarkisian and Flood say, hey, I like one of Baker or Kojo. I don't know if I like both. I don't know if I'm comfortable with both playing in an SEC game if it has to be. You know, you're not going to have a Trevor Goosby come around every year where a three-star prospect in a second-year on campus suddenly is locking down, you know, Jalen Walker and Mikel Williams, who are going to be first-round picks in the NFL draft. So if they're not fully confident that, you know, Baker's ready or that Kojo is anything more than just an athlete right now, I wouldn't be surprised if a swing tackle guard combo comes in. I think Robertson on the interior as the backup center, and then if another injury happens at guard, you can kick Hudson back out. Is all right. It's fine. But some kind of experience, maybe a group of five player who's, you know, got there, is there athletically and physically, because you know, Flood's not going to take an offensive lineman under 300 pounds. So if there's someone there, I think that might be a spot. But the things that IT has been talking about, you know, tight end, another pass catcher, wide receiver, D-tackle, I think those ones that we know about. But outside of those four positions, I'm feeling very good about most spots on this roster. Maybe running back, but it sounds like Clark's progressing well. So I'd say probably the offensive line is one that you might be surprised to see, but I wouldn't really be if it happens.
Eric, where do you land on this? I know that we've talked a lot about the positions that Evan has mentioned. Certainly at wide receiver, we're a little bit more bullish on maybe going into the running back room now. Certainly a tight end. What are maybe – is there a particular room that might need have some needs that aren't getting talked about right now?
Well, I mean, it's my job to talk about everything. So it's,
sure, fair point.
A lot of this wouldn't be unforeseen to me. You know, I think offensive line is a good one to bring up. But I don't think people – I don't think people in the fan base are talking about offensive line all that much. And I think that's a good one for reasons that Evan said, you know, uncertainty at right tackle, some experience would be much appreciated. You know, if you get a starter, your depth instantly improves because the guy that would have started is now your backup. So I could see offensive line that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Well, going back to your article here, Eric, one of the players that was mentioned by your source specifically was DJ Campbell. And if you've been reading Inside Texas and following us here on this channel, you know that Ian has been talking about maybe some new gap running schemes that are going to be happening in this next season, which would certainly play into DJ's mauler mentality with this. What are you hearing from your sources about the development with DJ? What are they hoping to get out of him this season?
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about the change in gap schemes. That's, you know, Ian is really good at saying what should happen before it happens. And then a lot of times what I end up hearing is what Ian has kind of already been theorizing about. And this is another one where he had mentioned gap schemes. And sure enough, we're hearing quite a bit about that. So if you've ever wanted to watch DJ Campbell, and this is the plays that really caught my attention when he was a high school recruit, were him on the pull, running that old guard tackle counter that OU used to give trouble to Texas quite a bit. This should be your year to see that. And he's looking leaner and meaner than ever. And he's actually taking on a leadership role, which was, you know, it was never going to happen. It's so fun to hear about these guys maturing over time. You know, I've had guys that we had on potential portal watch end up becoming team leaders. It's just, man, if you just stick to the script and keep maturing as a person, your future becomes that much brighter. So right now he's taking on that leadership role. He's a lot more vocal than he's ever been. He's leaner than he's ever been. You know, I predicted he'd have a breakout year last year. A lot of times when I'm wrong, I'm early, and I think I was early on that, and I think the breakout's coming this season. Very excited to see him, and I think the scheme alterations are going to be perfect for him.
We've got, again, questions are coming in here, and I want to talk maybe if we have a little bit of time here, Eric, about another article you wrote about what it would take to get maybe Texas to a preseason number one. But before we do, I really need you guys to be thinking about your fiduciary health.
I'm just going
to
say, guys, you probably need a fiduciary financial advisor. And I've got the guy for you. His name is David McClellan with Forum Financial. He works broadly and deeply with his clients as a financial life coach. And he should know something about coaching because he won several national championships as a swimmer for the University of Texas. He specializes in financial planning and has contributed numerous articles to Kipling on the topic of retirement tax bombs. So contact David today to be your fiduciary financial planner and schedule a one-hour consultation to assess your financial situations. The free consultation is available, so just give him a call. The number is 312-933-8823. That's 312-933-8823. His email is also in the description below.
So Cotton was previously concerned about Evan's facial hygiene, and now he's asking, with mainly a comment here, I think we can't go into 2025 without saying we gave Arch every possible weapon. Now, this seems to be, Evan, the motto amongst the fan base is this is the year we've got to give Arch everything that we can possibly give him. With that, What do you think? What are you feeling moving forward here? And we talked about the transfer portal a little bit there, but what is the thing that's going to put this team over the edge for Arch, if there was one thing?
Well, it's the rushing game and the offensive line, which I feel like I keep coming back to it. But You know, if DJ Campbell is able to become this elite pulling guard that you've kind of hoped out of high school, and Baxter's healthy, Gibson's the number one, which we'll see which one of Eric or I is right. I'm feeling Eric might be getting the better of that one. But obviously, run opens up the pass, and Arch will open up the run. Everything's playing in together. But I think what hurt Ewers last year is those games where the running game was giving you 2 yards a carry, and he's expected to play a little bit of hero ball, which wasn't what Quinn could do. So obviously, the run game is important. I know we didn't want to talk portal, but I do think there needs to be a portal receiver. The two top players in the portal right now are receivers available. I've been on the Cam Camper hype for a while from Boise State. 6'3", sure hands, played in the college football playoff. But I think what happens, and Eric's disagreeing with that one. With Arch, it's just, can the run game be consistent? And then the big plays are going to come. The deep balls are going to come with that happening. And I think one of your points in your article, Eric, was about just, you know, rushing the ball correctly and doing it in the right times and doing it, which Sark will always say, when the other team knows you're going to do it. And if that's going to be successful throughout the year and Texas is a top five rushing team in the SEC, I think that's where those number one and national title hopes start to really, really come into fruition.
Eric, in your article, one of the things that you mentioned about what it might take to put Texas as a preseason number one was that force multiplier at QB. So kind of sticking a little bit with, you know, Cotton's theme here of this being the year to support Arch, how much do you disagree with Evan, and is he fired?
No, he's not fired yet, but his face keeps lighting up a little bit. Like, it's like he's got either weird lighting or he's gaming at the same time that he's doing this.
I think probably he's doing on the Fortnite right now.
He's doing his homework. All right, well, he gets a pass for that. He's still an intern. That article was about what would it take for me to predict Texas to win it all. I predicted Ohio State last year. I've got a pretty good run of Texas the last 3 years, so I'm a little bit nervous about predicting. I'm going to have to gather as much data as possible, but. You know, back to Cotton's question about, you know, outfitting Arch with every possible weapon that's available. Yeah, obviously that's in play. That's been a no-brainer. That was a no-brainer going back to last year. And then Ewers came back and they said, man, you got Ewers, Alfred Collins, Jadae Barron. Let's go all in. And they went all in. They got, you know, Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden, Trey Moore, Andrew Makuba. They went all in last year. It didn't work out. They got close. They're all in again. And I feel good about the amount of money they have for the spring portal window. And I feel good about the plan. Now, you always need guys to actually go in and follow through. And you're somewhat beholden to what the market bears. But, yeah, they're going to have they need to get him another wide receiver. The room right now is extremely talented but also extremely inexperienced. And you can't just – if you went in with this room, you wouldn't say that you were doing everything you can to prepare Arch to win a national championship this season. They've got to land a guy that's good. They've got to land a guy that's got NFL upside. That's fast. You wish that you could get Matthew Golden this year. The guy's not going to be that good, but I think they'll get a good one. And then tight end is another one. You know, Jordan Washington, they're extremely thin. I think, you know, that I've been hearing there's a possibility that they'll take two. And then if you heard Sark in his interview on Monday or his gathering with the media, he said they really need it. When he said they really need it, I think that's kind of confirmation that they're looking to take too, and that's what they need. So give Arch some weapons, that's the plan. It has been the plan. They're not going to have Arch Manning and not do everything they can to capitalize A, the offensive firepower, and B, you know, they got to maximize their chance to win a national championship in this window. You know, last year I said they're in a 3-year championship window. Now they're in a 2-year championship window, at least for sure. That's only as far out as we can see. And they're going to do everything they can for these next 2 years to try to get that trophy.
I want to transfer over a little bit here. Somebody, BST, is asking, I've heard so many good things about Nick Brooks so far. You would think that he was a 5-star in this last cycle. What makes Brooks a stud so far this spring ball? Is he a technician?
No, I wouldn't say he's a technician yet. I think what's really exciting, and, you know, man, the big guys are really hard to evaluate sometimes. Sometimes I think they're super easy. But sometimes if you don't get to know the how they're going to respond the second they get on campus and how hungry they are and how coachable they are, it's easy to just say, well, that guy's got a long road ahead of him because he needs to lose a lot of weight. Well, I don't think if anybody would have known that he was going to lose, you know, 25 pounds, you know, right away upon getting on campus and being a total sponge. Along with that weight loss, he's looking quicker than ever. People would have rated him more highly, but, you know, he moved in high school, carried a little bit of unnecessary weight. I can understand a little bit of the questions about him, but everything since he's gotten on campus points to this guy being a stud. The athleticism is there increasingly. It's probably only going to keep getting better as he gets stronger. He's lost a little bit of excess weight. I think he's going to be a guy that plays next year. When I say plays next year, I think he's going to be vying to start next year. This season might be a little bit early. You don't want to have to play a true freshman if you don't have to, or unless their name is Kelvin Banks. But the future is extremely bright for him. I already feel confident that he's way underrated. He was one of the players in an article I wrote about guys that are going to overshoot their ranking. He's going to start a lot of football games. It's basically, I'm not saying we're hearing exactly what we heard about Trevor Goosby, because that was kind of next level with Goosby, but Nick Brooks is real close to that.
We got a question here specifically for you, Eric, because I think the audience hates you, Evan. Roaster is asking, Eric, is there a chance Townsend gets some reps outside this season before he adds weight?
No, you wouldn't want to put him. I mean, outside as far as being in 12 personnel and you move the second tight end around, sure. But, I mean, wouldn't be in place of a wide receiver. I think they could get him looks because you can go from 12 personnel to effectively 10 personnel, which is two tight ends if you have Jordan Washington and Nick Townsend as your tight ends. At that point, you have to cover them like wide receivers. Washington is very athletic for his size, and Townsend is an absolute freak. You can run Townsend in straight lines all day and run the defense ragged. He ran 21.62 in the 200 at 230 pounds. I think he's so talented that you're probably going to get him out on the field. You kind of have to just to keep him engaged. And feel like he's made the right decision. I liken him to Jonah Williams, where Jonah's probably going to have to get out there and dime looks just because they're so talented, so advanced physically, both have really good football mindsets. I think you got to get him out there, but, let's see what happens with the portal. I think they're going to get an experienced player in the portal. Jordan Washington has a head start as far as knowing the playbook on Nick. 2026 is the year to point to where you say, holy crap, Texas has two elite tight ends and maybe three. We're hearing good things about Emory Winston too.
One of the names that we unfortunately haven't heard loads about is Will Randall. And I'm just curious if there is, and Cotton's taking a pretty aggressive approach here to Will here, but I'm just curious where is he in this scheme? It's a guy that came in with Arch.
Yeah. We heard some things about him last week. He knows the playbook very well, knows where to be. This is a position where you can have a lot of value without being a freak athlete.
Right.
If you're willing to do the dirty work, which he is, he's just not the most physically gifted guy there is. But I mean, they're not going to cut that dude from the program. If you do everything right and you're also focused on getting your degree at Texas, they're not going to just ship you out. Some guys are going to have an honest talk with them, and they're going to say, hey, look, guys, you got a long road to the field. If you want to get playing time, maybe you test the portal. But some guys are there to get a degree at this point, and they're not going to try to shoo that guy out of the program. That's bad business. First of all, it's not going to fly in recruiting. It's not ethical, I don't think, because you brought them there for a reason. It's not your fault. It's not their fault if you missed on the evaluation. So that's not going to happen. But Will's a good player. Just Texas is Texas doesn't really. You got to be great at Texas. Look at they're going to have at least 22 guys get drafted in the last 2 years. That's a full starting team, just like that. And the guys right behind them, they're all going to. Most of them are going to get. A lot of them are going to. If you start at Texas, there's a good chance you're going to get drafted.
It is. There's a lot going on in this offseason, and it's a season that really never ends. And we would really love it if you would join us over at InsideTexas.com. Again, it is $1 for 4 months. That's going to get you. It's going to get you really close to the start of the season. Everything going on from that point of view. So please go ahead and join us. $1. That's 4 months at InsideTexas.com. Evan, I'm going to give you the opportunity here. You get to close us out. Any final words for the people?
No, I just think